This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, welcome back. We had some little board malfunction there, so...
It's my fault.
Normally, Carl would bring you back in with some great bump music. I don't know if we're going to get the blues organist, what we're going to get there,
oh,
Carl.
See, you know what? That's what I was trying to get.
I thought so. And I don't know why you weren't able to pull that off.
Because it's labeled incorrectly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Much better.
Very nice. All right. Got our friend Scott Warman back with us from FanDuel Sports this morning. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Wow, the buttons and levers aren't working this morning over there at 97.1, huh?
I'm telling you, man, sometimes it takes the brain a little while to get moving.
Or is it operator air?
A little of both.
I texted Scott last night. I'm like, listen, Ackerman is blowing us off this morning because he's traveling. How early do you get up? And he goes, well, I might be up by then. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. As I told you, I'm traveling for some basketball for over the weekend, so glad to join you.
Yeah, where are you going? What are you covering?
I've done Missouri Valley basketball for like 20 years, so I'm heading down to Murray State for a game tonight, and then from there go to Nashville. I got a game on Saturday in Nashville before I head back to St. Louis.
Outstanding. You know, I was just lamenting to Carl there in the break that I really preferred it when the Blue Bloods dominated. We didn't have all this parity in college basketball, but wow.
I know, right? Well, you know what? It's a new era of college athletics. And I know just reading a lot of this stuff because there's a lot of chaos right now, especially yeah, with the NIL and transfer is most any half fan of college athletics knows. And the funny thing is the dominance of, if you go from a football standpoint, of Alabama football. I mean, yeah, you know, obviously with Nick Saban, one of the greatest college football coaches, whether you like him or not, he's an incredible coach. But the problem they have now in Alabama, really, I know the head football coach there, Kalen DeBoer, at one time, he was a coordinator at SIU Carbondale doing Missouri Valley football conference games years ago. But the problem is you don't have big-time money in Alabama compared to Michigan, Ohio State, and some of these other schools. And, oh, by the way, the support for our Missouri Tigers, I say our Missouri Tigers, is you have the Cronkies, you have the Lorries, and you have the Walton families. That helps you out if you're trying to help along with some others that are feeding the system, because right now it's all about how much can you pay a player, a student athlete, quote unquote, right now. And I think we're at a crossroads where they've got to try to figure something out in college athletics, because it's really kind of spiraling out of control. But you're exactly right. I mean, look at what's happened to Kansas this year. I mean, Bill Self's team isn't even in the top 25 for the first time in who knows eons. It's absolutely nuts in college basketball.
It is crazy. I mean, there's the upside is, look at Mizzou. I mean, they've come out of nowhere, mostly by filling in roles from the portal, right?
Absolutely. And that's what the big boys do. And that's, you know, being from the Valley and a mid-major. And, you know, a lot of people remember some of the success stories. Obviously, the conference is located here in St. Louis. You had Wichita State about 10 years ago that made it to the Final Four. Loyola, who was a part of the Valley for a while, made it to the Final Four. You had Northern Iowa. Well, the one thing you had with those teams in the mid-majors is the fact that our teams, I say our teams in the Valley, well, they had experience. They had four-year guys where, you know, your Kentucky Wildcats or any other team that was really good, it was like 1 or 2 years, and they were headed to the NBA. Well, that's not the case now because the players who would normally be at 4 years at a mid-major, well, they're getting better offers because the mid-majors can't afford what the big boys can afford. And so now the mid-majors are kind of trying to just pick up scraps to try to keep going. And one of the things I've noticed here in college basketball over the last few years with the transfer portal and NIL, so we're seeing a lot of Division II players, Mark, that are kind of coming up and having a lot of success. And Josh Schertz, who is the head coach now at SLU, when he was at Indiana State in the Valley, he brought some of his guys up from Lincoln Memorial, and they had incredible success, as everybody knows, especially with that Indiana State program last year that I think really kind of got snubbed last year when they decided to take Virginia instead of Indiana State in the March Madness. And they made a run all the way to the NIT title. Hence, Josh has got a great job now at St. Louis University.
Boy, it's the truth. We're talking to Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports. On the basketball thing, just one more thing. What do you think they could do to fix this, Scott? I've always thought, well, maybe you tell people if you go into the transfer portal and you transfer to a school and you commit, you got to stay there 2 years. And if you don't, then you're going to have to sit out a year. That may be one way to control. I don't want to limit the athletes too much, but you shouldn't have one player that's been in four different programs in 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a problem that I've spoken to several coaches about. Is the problem is you might have an athlete that goes to four schools in 4 years and doesn't have a degree, and maybe is out of their money. Well, now what do they do?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I don't think the NCAA really thought about. I don't know what they were thinking about when they decided to do this. And look, I'm all about the student athlete getting something, because all the money that's involved in college athletics, especially college football and college basketball, these kids definitely need to get something. I'm don't get me wrong on this, but what needs to happen is you need to have a cap, and there is conversation about having a certain cap in college athletics as a whole. But as far as what you're talking about, yes, they have to at least commit to 2 years, unless their coach leaves the guy that you committed to. Then I'm like, okay, or if there's another precarious situation. But to me, I've even talked to Valley coaches where they've said, look, I just like to have a guy for this freshman and sophomore year and mold him into the player and then go out and make all the money you want. That's fine by them. But
yes,
it's just unheard of now.
Yeah, I mean, how do you build a good team if everyone's just hopping around every year? That doesn't make sense to me. So I agree with that too. But Scott, I wanted to talk Blues here for a second, because obviously they're coming off that great win, 7-2, but they've had a rough season, and now we're hearing rumors that Jordan Binnington could potentially be traded. Is there any credibility in your mind to that rumor?
I mean, personally, I haven't heard anything, but I think all bets are off. I can tell you this. The organization really felt at the start of the season that while they weren't one of the teams that were probably going to go to a Stanley Cup championship, that they really felt that they had the tools to at least make a playoff run. Now, granted, since this break, I think they played really well. I mean, they've got 5 of possible 6 points. Maybe could have got that 6 point on Saturday against the Winnipeg Jets. But with all that being said, Kim, I think Doug Armstrong has kind of made his mind up that he's been disappointed. And it seems to me, and again, I don't want to talk out of place because I haven't actually had a one-on-one conversation about this particular thing involving what's going on the trade deadline. I would think that, you know, if he's disappointed that doesn't look like they can make the playoffs, that he wants to change maybe the nucleus. Honestly, all bets are off. I have not heard anything. There's obviously rumors, especially when you lead into the trade deadline, and especially if you can get something. I mean, there's rumors out there, as I'm sure everybody knows, Carl knows, I know for sure, is the fact that, you know, they're talking about Braden Schimm. He's one of the great guys you'd ever meet and is a great captain. But I'm sure if somebody goes, hey, you know, Army, we give you all this for a Braden Schenn or a Jordan Binnington. He's obviously going to listen to try to better his team, because I think there has been some disappointment in what has transpired without the consistency of winning with this hockey team this year.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'd heard Cusimano mention that to Reardon earlier this week, and it kind of surprised me on Binnington. So, and not like you, he didn't say he knew anything. He just said the guy's high profile. He's coming off that great Four Nations tournament. Mm-hmm. This would be a great time if they were going to do something like that. He obviously would be a target, potentially.
But he seemed, I mean, Binnington seems like the key player right now for the Blues. So it would seem crazy to me that of all people, they'd want to trade him.
Right. And let me tell you something. If it wasn't for Jordan Binnington last year, I know players have said this privately, they wouldn't have been anywhere near where they had been even last year. Mm-hmm. And what baffles me is the criticism that this guy takes time and time again, especially from the Canadian media, even before what transpired with Team Canada. That was the thing is, you know, we're all Americans. We want the U.S. to win. But what eased it for me, and I even said this on the air in our pregame show on Saturday on Channel 4, is the fact that to see Jordan Binnington shut his critics up, especially in Canada, ease the pain of the U.S. losing. If we're going to lose, let's lose Jordan Binnington and Colt Parayko and Team Canada. Yeah, and it stands for, honestly, with what he's done. And they don't watch the games. The Blues defense a couple of years ago was really struggling. And they're like, oh, well, look at the numbers. Well, there's more than numbers. If you watch the game, the guy saved the Blues hide I don't know how many times a couple of years ago because he was not really getting much help in front of him. And so, Tim, I agree with you. Jordan Binnington is kind of is the nucleus of this team, whether they succeed or not. But again, if there's a massive offer, obviously Doug Armstrong has got to listen.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting 2 weeks to see, because if this team, they're playing Washington tonight in our nation's capital, and if they come away with a victory, first of all, it'll be the first time this year that they've won three games in a row, and if they play the way they played the last three games, I'm really curious to be in the mind of Doug Armstrong and go, well, wait a minute. Now we're starting to inch closer. Maybe we're playing the best hockey, because the only way they're going to make the playoffs, we said this after the break of the Four Nations tournament, they have to get on a run. Well, right now, so far, so good. It's only three games, I know. But if they play good tonight and they got L.A. back at home on Saturday, then things could get really interesting for this hockey team.
Sounds good. Scott, listen, thanks for giving us a minute, and safe travels.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Great to talk to you.
Talk to you soon. Scott Warman there from FanDuel Sports, and good to get his input on that.
I get if there's a lot of money at stake, I can see why he would need to potentially entertain that. But I just can't. I don't know. I'm not even pretending to be some massive Blues fan. But when I think of the Blues, Binnington is one of the people that I think of, and how crucial he was as goalie when the Stanley Cup. I mean, he's so critical to that team, and so it would just make me sad. I think it would make a lot of Blues fans, including people who are commenting on our socials this morning, it would make them sad to lose him.
I'm sure it would. We'll see what happens with that.
Get more at 971talk.com.